Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, football fan, and welcome to the home of football. Every month, people from 433 travel all over the world to create football content. They travel from derbies in Turkey to stars in the Premier League to upcoming talents in the Bundesliga. A lot of interesting things happen on the road, so once a month, I sit down with a couple of colleagues to talk about our latest adventures in the world of football. This is Inside 433. Let's go. All right, we're back at the offices at the headquarters of the company for a new podcast, an Inside 433 podcast. We've got a different lineup this time. One of the guys is still the same. The other two will be different. And I have to start off right away with, you know, setting something straight. Made a big mistake last time. Had a horrible introduction for this guy. Well, it wasn't even an introduction,
no,
actually.
No, Tim, can you say what you are doing here at 43?
So I'll give you a proper introduction this time.
Thank you.
All right. He's been working at the company for over 5 years now. He's the face and the voice of the Dutch part of the company. It's the man, Tim van Dam.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel very welcome here now. And
how are you feeling today, Tim?
Yeah, actually, I've been rushing all day, but now I'm here and I'm excited to record the second podcast. And I feel really good that you said something straight because people need to realize, people that listen to this podcast need to realize that I'm quite a big deal here.
So. I said you were a loudmouth last time as well. That's pretty correct. All right. Our other guest, he's new. His name was mentioned in the last Inside 433 podcast because we talked about the Pedri video he made. He also made a lot of other good videos. The Neymar video we made here was a big part of that. He made a short documentary on Maradona after he passed away. One of the most talented videographers of the company, Rein van Dam. Rein, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
All right.
I appreciate the introduction.
Yeah, thought I would do it straight away this time.
Yeah, you need to learn from your mistakes, I think.
So you've done a good job.
Okay, thanks, guys. So I want to talk a lot about the work you've done for the company, especially you, Rein, because you weren't here last time. But first, we're going to listen to a clip I recorded with James Threlfall. He's one of the hosts of 433 on Instagram. He's from England. He lives there as well. And James started to work for the company last year, just like me. And we talked about how he got involved with 433 and some of the wild experiences he had so far. Here's James on how he started to work for the company.
A friend of mine basically had seen this post that 433 were looking for a new host, sent it through to me, and I was like, man, started just looking through 433's content, and I was like, this is a dream. Like, this sounds amazing. My main concern, though, and I know we've discussed this before in various different conversations, Sam, but like, my concern was that 433 were going to be looking for someone that really knew loads about like the technicalities of football. And like, for me, that's just not what football is. Like, I'm about, you know, getting together with my friends, having some food, having some drinks and watching the game. And I'll leave that side of things to the pundits. They know what they're doing, the ex-players and stuff. I've never played football to a high level. I'm just a fan. I'm a fan of Spurs. Unfortunately, it hurts a lot of the time. But no, I'm just a fan. So yeah. I was a little bit concerned that maybe I wasn't going to be the right fit. But then I started looking into it and it seemed like 433 wanted to do more of the kind of entertaining side. It's not about breaking down the play. It's about capturing the atmosphere, like giving access to fans. Like, you know, we were in Frankfurt the other day and had amazing access for the Europa League quarterfinals. And we were pitch side and we were going, you know, through all the mix zone and everything. And it's fans don't get to see that, you know, and that was what it was all about. And so I kind of threw my hat in the ring there. And yeah, it became like this competition. And yeah, I got this crazy email saying that I'd made it to the final eight, and then I had to do kind of another little thing to get through to the final four. And then it was a Europa League takeover that we had to do as like our final task. And yeah, then was told off the back of that I was the new host for 433 alongside Metachan, which was crazy. Like, I never expected to get to that point, man. So yeah, it's just a wicked experience, and right in time for the Euros as well, which is perfect.
Yeah, awesome, man. What was your first big assignment, so to speak?
My first big assignment was the Euros, which is like thrown in at the deep end. So I think the first one was England-Scotland as well. So it was like a massive rivalry, like walking into Wembley, and it was crazy. Like, I think I got there at about like 4 or 5 hours before kickoff, and it was already going wild outside the stadium. So yeah, that it was a great experience, man. And then for the remaining ones, I was at Wembley, which was an amazing experience, and I guess worked quite well because obviously all the travel bans were kind of coming in and going out and stuff. So at least, I guess from 433's perspective, it was like we knew I was good to be at Wembley. Even if no one else could be there, I could be there. So, yeah. But I guess that was kind of, man, like being thrown in at the deep end. Like, usually when we do these takeovers, like myself and Luai were at Frankfurt the other day. Shouts to Luai. And he works obviously for 433 as well. Yeah. He's there like filming and like handling a lot of the takeover. And, you know, there's sometimes where I'd be like, oh, can you just like, can you mention this in this take? And we'll just do it again. And can you just try and get this in? Or can we shoot this a certain way? Where I was the only one at Wembley. I'd only just started. And it was
like, you were by yourself?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Wow. So no one else could fly in. So I hadn't really done anything. I hadn't done much for 433. And it's like, boom, here we are at Wembley on our own, like trying to gather content. It was crazy, but like a really good experience. I think sometimes you're best off being thrown in at the deep end like that, you know?
Yeah. What was the final like, man?
The final was unbelievable. And yeah, I couldn't believe it. We were very kindly hooked up through Just Eat, I believe it was, who were sponsoring and obviously have a good relationship with 433. So very kindly gave us some complimentary tickets and a hotel as well, man. Like, I wasn't expecting that. Yeah, we got looked after. But they gave us some tickets to go and watch the final, which was like, I would sit anywhere just to be in that stadium. Yeah. And then I remember my I think I've got it behind me in the drawer. I've like saved it. but I remember looking at it and I was like, I think those are pretty good seats. I think that's quite close. And it was like, because it was like a low row number. Yeah. I think it was like row 3. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm just like row 3 in like, you know, the upper section. And then I got into the stadium and I was like finding my section and I was walking down the rows and I was like, we are literally the front row, because the two rows in front of us, they were using for like the, I think, I don't know if it was like a COVID barrier or what, but they had like some material over the front two rows. And then it was us and we were at the halfway line. It was just incredible. It was just insane. So yeah, that was a wild experience. And obviously, you know, being an England fan, we try and stay impartial, obviously, with these takeovers. But, you know, being from England, it was kind of hard to do that. And Luke Shaw scored immediately. But then Italy came right back into the game. And then, yeah, it went down to the penalties at the end. And it was just, oh, man, it was crazy. But, it like, you know, it didn't obviously go my way as someone from England. But what an experience. And the Italian fans were amazing. Like they were having so much fun, and they'd been really fun earlier in the day when we chatted to them. And yeah, there was a guy I saw on the train who was very proudly still wearing his Italian shirt. And I was like, you're very brave. But like, you know, I was giving him nucks because yeah, you know, you've got to appreciate in that scenario. And he was buzzing. So yeah, it was a wild experience.
Wild experience, man. Yeah, quite the experiences to start with. And then what are some of the things you already mentioned? The Eintracht Frankfurt Barcelona game that was very recently. You went with Luai, one of our colleagues. I saw you having some fun with a scooter or something over there.
We were pulling some moves.
You were definitely pulling some moves. What are some of the trips you've been on since then?
Man, so obviously that was the most recent. I don't know where we're going next. I don't, like, it's always so last minute. It's so funny just getting the WhatsApp and I'm like, yes, where are we going? But yeah, we went out to Marseille for Marseille versus PSG not that long ago. We went to another Barca game as well, which was crazy. Like, yeah, getting to do quite a lot in Europe. The thing I haven't done yet though is a Premier League game. Which is crazy because I'm in England. So it's like, I'm saying to the guys, like, get me into a Premier League game. Let's go. Ideally Tottenham. We were meant to do the North London Derby. Myself and Anton, another colleague. We were meant to do the North London Derby, but that unfortunately got postponed. So I saw that the date has finally come up for that. So as soon as that came out, I was like sending it to Anton and I was like, right, we need to get this in the calendar, start sending some emails. Cause yeah, Spurs Arsenal at Spurs. We need to make that happen.
All right, James, do you have another game scheduled or is it just you'll get a text message 2 days before you leave, 1 day before you leave?
Literally, so yeah. Frankfurt was Monday. I got the text and we were flying on Wednesday. So who knows? I think there's, at the time of recording this, there is talk of some Champions League and Europa League games to come. So fingers crossed for that. But yeah, if Anton's listening to this, North London Derby, let's make it happen. Come on.
All right, James. Thank you very much for your time. And yeah, I'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, mate. Thank you.
He's such a nice guy, yeah? Isn't it?
Yeah, James is awesome. Yeah, he's actually thinking about coming to the office sometime because, of course, we're in the Netherlands. He is in England and he never met all of us in person. So really looking forward to having a beer with him.
He met me in person.
Oh, really?
Yes, we worked together on the Akin Fenwa project.
Oh, of course.
He's a really nice, energetic, positive guy, just how we like it. And for him it's sometimes difficult because we are based here and he's in England, and he's also has a tight schedule, but really talented.
Also works for the BBC and other media. He's a very talented guy.
Yeah. And you know how it works here. Inside 2 days we have an appointment with Chelsea, for example.
Exactly.
Then he says, inside 2 days, that won't work for me. So really difficult to plan those kind of things. But for example, games and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So James told us about how he started to work for the company. Rein, how did you get involved with the company?
I work here now for a year and a half, so not that long. I used to be a PE teacher.
Really?
Yeah, at a primary school here in Amsterdam.
Cool.
And I think I started with videos 4 or 5 years ago, just with an iPhone, then a GoPro, then I bought a drone. And people were like, you should start your own company. But I was like, why? But I listened, I bought my first camera, and it kind of went automatically, I guess, because I shot a lot of things for myself, travel, things with friends.
Yeah.
And then at one point, I think the content was so good that Damien, our boss,
Damien DeSeo.
Yeah, Damien DeSeo, he slid it in my DMs.
He said, you got a DM, yeah.
With
that's
a question.
His way, huh?
He got wine and dine.
And he just, that's the only thing he said. You make cool videos. You want to come and work for us?
What did you think then?
What? First of all, how did he end up on my page?
Yeah,
I think it was because I was at I filmed something with Elger Elia, who used to be or is one of the founders of Baller.
Yeah, he used to be one of the investors at least, and now he's gone. But you know, he was an investor. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I he invited me to come to Istanbul to film a video, so I went there, and then Elger was in Amsterdam. Mm. He contacted me, are you willing to shoot a video? I was like, yeah, of course. And then I ended up here, not knowing that 8 months later I would actually work here.
Crazy.
Yeah. And I started during the t- time of COVID. So yeah. It was kind of a rough start.
Yeah.
Because I went from teaching 250 kids, seeing them each week, to being, back then I used to live with my brother, living with my brother in an apartment in Amsterdam of 40 square meters. So the start was a bit rough, also yeah. because we couldn't
do a lot. Yeah.
Do a lot with the players. There are managers involved, clubs involved, players, of course, didn't want to get COVID and you don't want to take the risk.
Yeah.
But in the end, it paid out.
Yeah. All right. So what's been the most amazing project you've worked on so far? What's something you experienced here that you thought, well, it's crazy, I'm experiencing this right now?
Oh, there are a bunch. But the first one that comes to mind is Maradona. That's also one of the first projects I did. Mm. And I did it all by myself.
Cool.
So that one was unique. Then, of course, we have Neymar.
Yeah.
We have Memphis Depay.
Mm.
I shot a European H&M campaign. Collaboration cool. between H&M and 433. What else? Well, we did a lot of things.
Let's talk about the Maradona one, the first one you yeah. mentioned. So that was after he passed away, right? For people who haven't seen it, what happened here at the company and what was the process like for you to make that video?
If I'm correct, he passed away on Wednesday. And Wednesday evening, I got a call from Damien asking me if I had plans on Thursday. I had no clue what he wanted to ask. I was like, no, I don't have any plans whatsoever. Said, okay, we're going to fly you out to Naples to document what's going on there.
Hmm.
Like, well, sounds amazing. Once in a lifetime opportunity. But I didn't have the equipment. I didn't have a negative PCR. I had nothing.
Yeah.
There were no interviews scheduled. I had a flight and I had a hotel.
Was it just you on your own?
Yeah, it was just me.
Wow. So it was just go there and see what you can make.
Yeah, yeah. So in the evening, I picked everything up. Went to bed, woke up early. Damien picked me up at my place. We did the test. I flew to Naples. I got the ticket actually, and it said business class because they booked. Yeah, that's what I thought. They booked the ticket the day before, so the whole plane was packed. But there was business class. I was like, oh, nice! I'll be able to stretch my legs, have some champagne. But then it was Italia, so it was just a first row seat.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was still very good.
Yeah.
And then I came here, and then I guess the power of social media, because we got in touch with a guy who's from Naples, and yeah. he showed me around. But while being there, Fischel, who helped a lot from Amsterdam. From
the, yeah.
Yeah, so he was reaching out to people in Naples. So in the end, we got to speak with Daisy Bell, if I'm correct. I mean, the announcer of Naples.
Oh, yeah. The guy who always announces stuff in a
yeah,
stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
He's insane.
Yeah,
yeah.
And after the interview, I asked him, do you know any people who may have stories about Maradona when he played here, maybe personal stories? He said, I can give you a number of the captain back then. It was Giuseppe Bruscolotti.
Mm. Well pronounced. Huh?
And he said, you can give it a try. So we texted him. And he actually answered.
Ah, that's great, man.
Yeah. So, and he didn't gave a statement or anything. So we were the first ones there.
Yeah.
So we walked up and we had a driver who drove us through Naples, which was the driver of Dries Mertens. The driver of Dries Mertens.
Cool.
So he basically gave me a whole tour around Naples, showed me the best places, took me to the Murales.
Crazy.
Yeah. When we arrived at the Giuseppe Bruscolotti, he opened the garden. We were standing outside, and while the interview was going, he got very emotional. Till at one point, he was like, "No, I can't do it anymore."
Oh, wow.
Because he got too emotional, tears in his eyes. And we were like, "Okay," like we respected his decision, and then we went away. But there's so much happening on a trip like that. I was there for 3 days.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Like, it's very intense.
Yeah.
Because you have to capture everything. You're in the middle of a madness.
It's so emotional.
Yeah. Especially in the first evening when I arrived, I had to go to the hotel, drop my stuff. And then I went straight to the stadium because there were thousands of people.
Crazy.
Just
paying tribute to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Crazy. And it was basically, they were celebrating the fact that he played football there.
Yeah.
So they were, it was more happy than sadness, which was very unusual if someone passes away.
Yeah.
So that was a big party.
Cool.
Yeah, yes. Just these things you, like sometimes you forget to appreciate the things you experience here because it's so much and everything is going so fast. But that was one of the coolest things I've done.
I want to add two things to the Maradona story because it was his first project.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that sentimental, happy guy, but he's the perfect guy to send on his own to a big city.
And I believe that, yeah.
Because Rein is, you're really bold. You're
not bold like me, but
no, I'm balding actually.
Well, but bold, both, it works both ways. But
he dares stuff. Yeah.
He's confident.
Yeah.
Like if you Rein doesn't ask himself, "Is this possible?" He's just
doing just tries it. Yeah.
He doesn't ask any questions. He's just going for it.
Yeah.
That was my experience with him when I first went abroad with him.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah. He's just really cool and confident about that. And I think the second thing I want to add is that when you're alone and you work for 43, then you get all the space and for your own creativity. Like it's not like that you have to answer to a manager and a manager and a manager. It's just, I want to make this.
Yeah.
And then you can make that if it's in between. Yeah. If it's content for 43.
Yeah. Cool. That's cool.
Yeah. I think that's also the good thing about working here because you do get a lot of space to be creative, and they have a lot of trust in you as a creator. So if, for example, there's an idea to shoot a campaign, but you're like, no, I think this can be better, the message can be stronger, then they are like, they listen to you.
Yeah.
So you both worked on the Neymar campaign with Puma, which was a big project as well. Neymar, one of the top 5 players in the world. What was that like?
When I look back at that week, it's just like, then I tell, we made a campaign with Neymar for a big company. That's great.
Yeah.
But it was 6 days of pure stress and running and arranging stuff. And the working hours were really long, I think. But then again, it was also really fun.
Where were you?
In the center of Paris. Just really. Oh, wow. And the whole city was closed.
Mm.
Because of COVID, so even restaurants, everything was closed except for supermarkets, and there was a curfew which we didn't have to oblige because we worked for media.
Mm.
And so it was a lot of stress, but then again it was also really fun. I was part of the production team, so I had to drive the van.
Yeah.
And it had to go up 7 stories in a parking lot. And it was so stressful. And then I was at the top. And then they told me, yeah, you can't park here. So I had to go back with. And it was, we were with 7 people or something. It was so much chaos. But then again, yeah, in the end, it worked out really great. And it looked really good, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. What Puma did is they rented out the top of a garage in the center of Paris. So they blocked out two floors, basically. And we got our own kind of small indoor space to build our set, basically.
Yeah.
And they were shooting downstairs. So Puma had Neymar first for 4 hours straight. And after we, at least on the planning, it said that we would have him for 45 minutes. But of course, as always, when you're shooting last, with 43 with players, things happen, things come in between. Instead of 45, we ended up having 25 minutes.
Oof, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, it was a struggle. Yeah. And but also the good thing is because we were a day prior before the shooting, we were already in the garage building the set, and there was a body double.
All
so it's
right.
basically someone who looks just like Neymar, like identical.
Same tattoos, same haircut, same body type.
That's funny.
Yeah, so we did a full run through of the shoot. So when Neymar actually came, everybody was laser focused. Everybody knew what they had to do. And Kwang, he doesn't work here anymore, but he was together with Damie, the creative director, and they did an amazing job.
Cool. So for Neymar, I imagine, I never met the guy, but he just had a 4-hour shoot and then he arrived at your place. Maybe he was also feeling like it should be quick. What was that like?
Well, I was standing next to Rein when he entered the room.
Yeah.
And like the elevator doors, they opened up. And then he walked out with 4 security guards.
Yeah.
And then I think that was really a sad moment because, yeah, he walks out of the elevator and like 60 or 100 people of multiple shoots, they were looking at him like he's a sort of a polar bear trapped in a cage in a zoo.
Yeah.
I think that's no life as well.
Yeah.
And then 4 hours long, it was just for him,
hard work.
Yeah, of course, it's a nuanced story because he gets paid a lot for it also. So, but then again, if the whole time you hear your own name, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? And nobody's asking you, like, are you okay or something?
Yeah,
it seemed a bit lonely to me. And
it's hard work for the football players as well. And it's not all fun, right? Yeah.
No,
people see the advert, they think this is really cool, but it's hard work for those guys as well, of course.
Yeah, it's long days if you've just practiced for 2 hours and then you have a shoot for 4 hours. Yeah. It was basically outside because the garage on top was open, so he had to be there in a t-shirt all day. Then one of the generators broke. I don't know if you remember, there was a guy running up, help, like, what's up? He's like, one of the generators broke.
Crazy.
And then, like, those things don't help on days like that. Of course, things can happen.
So the video was about Neymar now and as a kid, and there were, what was the format of the video?
Yeah, there are two different videos from the shoot. One was of his clothing line he had together with Puma, and it was, I think, before the Copa America.
Yeah.
And the other one was for his foundation, where he got a call, got in a FaceTime, in a video call together with kids from Brazil as a surprise.
Cool.
So that was also very cool to see. But we, unfortunately, we couldn't go there ourselves because of COVID.
Yeah.
But there was another videographer, which we hired, and he was able to shoot everything in Brazil. So that turned out great as well.
That's very cool, man. And I remember that after I was working here when the shoot was almost done, I think. And then Puma was also really excited about the video as well, right?
I think it was one of the best performing videos Puma ever had on socials. So
yeah.
Okay. And it was like for us, if you only take 4-3 in mind, it was really a high point because it's, we really thought it's the next step in our video production.
Yeah.
It's a next step in what we want to achieve, and I think that was really cool.
All right, guys, so during these trips we also experienced things that have nothing to do with football. And Rein, you once had an incredible experience. You went to a UFC event. I'm very jealous of that. What happened there?
Yeah, besides football, I just love sports in general.
Yeah.
And it's because of 43 that you have such you have many connections.
Yeah,
I think I can thank Fischio for this one, because we were in Dubai for 2 weeks.
Even Tim agrees, so
that's good. Yeah. We were in Dubai for 2 weeks because we had multiple projects that we're going to shoot there.
Yeah.
And at one point, Fischio, he's not a fan of MMA, UFC or anything. So he just very casually asks, hey guys, just spoke to someone and we can meet Khabib.
Like, Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Yeah, like, and he said it like super casual, like, okay. And I don't get nervous at all with poop. Like, I see everybody as like normal people, and I like to have conversations with players as well, not about football, but about everything. But meeting, like, first of all, I never expected to meet him because when?
Yeah.
There's no way.
How? Yeah.
Yeah. So hands get sweaty.
Yeah.
I get nervous. The day that we could, like, would potentially meet him came, we were waiting on a text. We were like, okay, it's not gonna happen. Like, of course. So we ordered our dinner. We had a big bowl of some good curry. And the moment the food arrives, bling, we get a text. Hey guys, we're at this restaurant. You can come now.
Yeah.
Don't mind eating.
Drop everything.
Yeah, drop everything that you're doing. Hop in a taxi and go.
Yeah.
And I thought we are going there to take a picture and leave.
Yeah.
And we arrived and we spoke to Landon, which is his guy. He's always there. And at one point I'm like, hey, but maybe he isn't even here. Like, we are just here to have a conversation with the manager.
Yeah.
And at one point he said, oh, do you guys still want to meet Khabib? I said, that's what I'm here for. Of course I want to meet Khabib. So he said, yeah, walk with me to the back. And Khabib was there. Islam Makhachev was there. Like, his whole team was there.
Yeah.
And he came up. Of course, we took a picture. Hands are shaking. Hands are sweaty. So I gave him a hand. Wow. And he actually took the time. I think we spoke with him for like 20 minutes.
Wow.
And he was questioning me, like, Champions League winner of 1992. I'm like,
I don't know.
I wasn't even born yet. Yeah. Don't question me. He's like, you're not a football fan. You can't work it. You can't work
it. Good to mention it was in Dubai.
Yeah, it was in Dubai.
The week after, there was a UFC event.
Yeah.
A pretty big UFC event. Yeah. Which you attended also, right?
Yeah, yeah. So first meeting Khabib was
so
crazy.
He was testing your football knowledge because he's a football freak, right? He knows
Khabib
everything.
Knows everything.
Yeah. All right.
Ask him a year. Who has won the Champions League?
Nigerian
he knows it.
Nigerian winger, 1998. He knows it.
He knows it. He knows it. Yeah, he loves football.
Okay. So yeah.
But besides meeting Khabib, there was something else because there was a UFC event headlining McGregor Poirier 2.
Yeah.
Back at the time in Abu Dhabi, we were having dinner with Damie and Kwang, the former videographer. And Damie said, also very casual, because he didn't know we met Khabib. He's like, do you guys like UFC? Because I can get you guys 2 tickets. Like, no. No, you can't. There's no way. He's like, yeah, I just got a call if I wanted to go, but I don't like fighting. So do you guys want to go? I'm like, yes, I want to go. One, the tickets are crazy expensive. Two, you have to go to Abu Dhabi. And what are the chances that you're actually close to Abu Dhabi and someone can get you tickets? So I was blown away. But he said it on Friday night.
Mm.
And the fight was from Saturday to Sunday in the morning.
Yeah.
But to cross the border from Dubai to Abu Dhabi, you needed to have a negative COVID test.
All right.
So we were like, no way. And he said it at like 12:30 at night. So we're like, okay, we have 28 hours. We have to go now and quick. So we went to the hotel, took a taxi, arrived at the hospital. Huge white tent. We went into the tent. I'm not even kidding. I think 200 people. Coughing, looking ill.
Oh,
this is not the place where you want to be, because of course we also have to go home after.
Yeah.
So we waited 2-3 hours to eventually have the test, with just having the hopes that you have the result on time so you can cross the border to Abu Dhabi. Came home at 5, wake up at 7 in the morning because we also had a shoot that day.
Yeah.
Finished everything, looked at the phone, no result. Went for dinner, looked at the phone, we have the results, and now let's hope that they're actually negative so we can go. Tests are negative. We rented a car, went straight to bed because we had to wake up at like 3 in the morning. So we drove there. Everything went smooth because they can give you a hard time sometimes crossing from Dubai to Abu Dhabi. We arrived and it's pretty much unreal arriving there. First of all, we came in, we entered, and I was with Kwang, and it was, I think, 4 in the morning when we arrived.
Yeah.
And a guy asked us, do you want a wristband? I'm like, no, like, why would I want a wristband? He's like, so you can get alcohol. I was like, no, man, it's 5 in the morning. And I looked at Kwang. Kwang looked at me. We were like,
maybe a beer.
Maybe a little one. So we went inside, bought a 0.5 liter, just watched the fight, enjoyed a bit too much. Then first Chandler overhooking, then like hooking.
Dan Hooker,
yeah. And then when McGregor, it's so surreal because you watch so many YouTube videos of his walkout. And then
you're there.
All the lights go out. You hear the song. You get goosebumps. You see he's actually walking out. The stadium goes crazy.
Yeah.
Like nuts, completely crazy. Nothing that I've ever experienced. And then the fight ended how it ended.
He got
knocked out in the second round, if I'm not wrong. Looking back, it's crazy how things sometimes align.
Yeah.
And it's because of 4-3-3, you experience these kinds of things. You come home with so many stories. Like sometimes you forget and somebody has to remind you, like, oh, remember that this happened? I'm like, oh, true. Yeah, I completely forgot about it.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's insane. All right, guys, we've been talking for quite a long time already.
But I'm curious what you are proud of the last month. What did you do?
Yeah, there are a couple of things. I was very proud of the episode on Iraqi football, the history of football in Iraq. Quite a rough history, that country, of course. But we posted a podcast with Younis Mahmoud, one of their legends. And the amount of reactions we got from people from Iraq was insane, man. My Instagram was also flooded with reactions, and they are so kind. So they really appreciated that. So that was cool. And next week on the podcast, we'll have the story of Ayo Akinola. He's not well known yet. He's a Canadian football player who's very talented. And he has a very intense personal story. His parents come from Nigeria. They moved to America at first and then settled in Canada. They separated, and his mother basically raised Ayo and his brother on her own. And she had a very, very rough time. They lived in shelters for a while, and it's quite a miracle that he even made it to this level. So that's a very personal story about a young talented player that will be in the podcast next week. Yeah, that's in the end a great story as well. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well.
I think it's good that you give those stories also a platform.
Yeah, I like to tell those stories, man.
Yeah, of course. Those stories need to be heard as well.
Thanks, man.
So well done.
All right. Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure once again. Let's do this again in a month or so.
For sure.
Yes. And thank you for the great introduction. I think I deserved it as well.
Yeah.
To be as humble as I think.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. Frankie here. I just filmed the podcast with 433.
I'm Mario Götze.
My name is Clarence Seedorf.
Hi, I'm Sunil Chetri. I just finished my podcast with 433.
Hello, 433 fans. This is Jibril Cisse.
Yo, what's going on, people? It's your boy, Andy Barak in Fenway, a.k.a. Mr. Beastmode. And I just finished a podcast with 433.
Hi, 433 fans. It's Don Robbie in the building, right? And we are here for a great podcast. I want you to check it out.
Hi, 433. I am Fabrizio Romano. Check out my story on the podcast. It was a great pleasure.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.